you. You have no right of eternal life. But don't you believe you can sin? And the Lord will forgive you, because the Bible said He'll forgive you 70 times 70. I don't know whether it's that. Johnny probably knows. He knows the Bible all the way through.
Do I believe you can be forgiven of sin? Sure.
Yeah, when you get saved and you sin, can the Lord forgive you?
Sure. If we confess our sins, He is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. A child of God can come to the throne of grace anytime, and he receives forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we didn't have that throne of grace, and the Lord Jesus is our representative there as our great high priest, certainly he does forgive us of our sins. And that must, you know, every day of our life, we have to confess that I've come short of God's glory, and forgive me of my sins this day.
Well, I'm gonna ask you one more question. I'm gonna hurry up, because probably people want to ask Johnny one. In the tribulation days, will it be people saved? And that's the elect people?
As far as the tribulation, I mean, we have a whole subject going on, ma'am, that is really very, we tried to keep, he and I could have discussed millions of things that we, that are in the Bible, hundreds of things, but we've limited ourselves basically to this one subject.
Okay.
So, okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, caller, you're on live.
Hi, this is Johnny.
Yes.
Is that me?
Yes.
Okay. The one thing that I haven't heard yet that I called 3 months ago and I told about Steve, if we are born innocent, why were we not given the same privilege that Adam was to live in the Garden of Eden? Why are we cursed to have to work the fields? Why is a woman cursed to bear children in pain if we're all born innocent? Why do we suffer the same curse that Adam did? Answer that, will you?
Well, for one thing, if you would read in Genesis chapter 9, you're not cursed like Adam was, because God removed that curse in regard to the thorns and the thistles and things of that nature when Noah came out of the ark. And so as far as the childbearing that
the woman. After Noah, how many thousands of years was it between Adam and Noah?
Well, you said we, sir. I'm just answering the question you asked. You said we, and I'm correcting you that it's not the case today that God reversed that.
But it's the same principle. He changed things 2,000 years later. But if we were born innocent, we'd be born in the Garden of Eden. That's the bottom line.
Okay.
I don't have the privilege of living in the Garden of Eden because he was created innocent. We don't. Because we're born, he sinned on our behalf. He represents any man or woman that would have been in the Garden of Eden would have done the exact same thing. That's why we're all treated the same. Because he could take you and your wife in the Garden of Eden, would have done the same thing. Me and my wife would have done the same thing. So he sent for all of us.
Okay, that would be me?
He represented you.
Okay, you're making my point. You're making my point, sir. If I was there, I would have a free choice. And I don't.
Because we have a sinful nature.
Well, so what? No, not necessarily. Is Adam's sinning proved that he had a sinful nature? Remember,
exactly.
He was created.
Up until that point, God did not know whether he was going to be a sinner or not.
Oh.
It was an open-ended question. It was a variable.
Okay.
Is he going to be a sinner or is he going to be righteous?
Okay, so God doesn't know.
Because he acted on sin. If he didn't sin, then he wouldn't be a sinner.
Okay. Okay.
God didn't make a choice for Adam.
Okay. Talk loud and you take over the show. Sir? Actually, you have just said God didn't know, but God said he had his son actually slain before the foundation of the world because he did know that man was going to sin. And so the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, why was he slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world? Because God knew that they would sin. So that answers that, sir. So I do appreciate you for making my point. If my wife and I were in the Garden of Eden, we would get a free will. What you're actually saying is what all the Baptists say is, I didn't do it. Adam did it. I don't have to do anything. Jesus did it, and I can't be responsible for anything after that because I can't fall. If you want that doctrine, that's fine. All right, thank you for calling. All right, we got the phone lines lit up. Dan, you're on What's the Bible Say?
Hey, Johnny. How
hey. Good?
Dan, how are you?
Fine.
Hey, one question, Johnny. When born sinless, as you're saying, if I understand you right, and at some point every human being in the world will inevitably choose to sin against God and become sinners at that point. Is that what you're saying? Johnny?
Yes, I'm listening.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm simply saying what you're reading there on the Bible.
Okay, listen, one more time. Are you saying that we're all born sinless, and at some point, every human being in the world, we will at some point choose to sin.
Not babies.
Okay, I'm not asking about babies. I'm asking about every human being at some point in their life will sin.
Yes.
Then would you not agree that there is a connection there that every human being has what theologians call a proclivity to sin if all of us in all the world are sinning?
Okay, I got your point. Does Adam have a proclivity when he was created sinless?
Adam, as if you want to make...
I just asked you a question. You can say yes or no.
Adam had the ability...
I answered yes or no. I said no. And then I asked you a question and you won't answer. Why is that?
I'm trying to explain what my answer is.
No, I want a yes or no.
Every question, yes or
no. I'm asking
him. Even in a court of law, you would not answer every question.
Well, I answered him yes or no.
So you're trying to press him to say yes or no.
Well, I'll ask you.
Give him no explanation.
I gave him an explanation.
That's what I said. You go around the world.
I said that you all say that the reason why that we can say we're sinners born in sin is because we sin, proclivity to sin. So I asked you then, why is it that Adam sinned? Doesn't that prove that he has a proclivity to sin? And I've yet to get an explanation from either one of y'all. But I was asking for a yes or no from you. How about it? Yes or no?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did what?
He had the inclination in him to sin.
His nature was sinful when he was created.
He had ability to sin.
Now, ability, sir, that's my doctrine. Ability is my doctrine.
He did not possess the inability to sin, nor did he possess the inability not to sin.
Thank you.
That's what I'm getting at.
Okay, well, we're in agreement.
Okay, then let me...
Now, is he in agreement with you?
Can I ask you one more question quickly?
We'll see. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. I do appreciate your show. I really do. Do you agree that there is a distinction between man's natural ability and moral ability? That we're given by the Creator, we're given as His creation this natural ability to make choices, but what we lack is the inclination or the righteous desire for obedience, so we lack that moral ability that would somehow incline us to God. Do you agree with that? Or,
well, I will agree.
Are you not making any distinction between natural ability and moral ability?
Well, the Bible just simply says that the weakness has to do with our flesh. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh, God sending His own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The problem is that the law is actually designed to show us the exact right. Leviticus 18:5. If you keep the law, you will live. Can I keep the law? No. My flesh is weak. I will fall into lustful situations just like Adam and Eve did. The commandment came. Now, Dan said the commandment came when Jesus came, but you know what the Bible says? The Bible actually says the commandment was lust. What shall we say then in the very context? This is the law sin, God forbid? Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, he tried to take us all the way to the road to Damascus, when in the context, he quotes one of the Ten Commandments. I'm simply saying, sir, that the Scripture lays it out that the weakness is in our flesh.
Johnny.
Okay. Now, sir, you've already had your two questions.
Can I say one more thing, please?
No, you can't. I mean, I'm not trying to be ugly with you, sir, but if you get to take up the whole broadcast, what about the other people who I'm going to meet on the road and say, well, you let that one guy just take over? All right, thanks for calling. All right, John, what does the Bible say?
Yes, sir, how you doing?
Good.
I'd like to ask you a question.
All right.
Do you believe that all children are born sinless?
I believe that the Bible says that all children are born sinless, yes.
Then why is it that Jesus, if Jesus had died before he'd been baptized, he'd have went to hell, is what you're saying?
That's what you're saying, maybe. I didn't say that. Jesus didn't need
you're
to be baptized.
You're saying if all children are born sinless, then shame and iniquity.
Do you want me to answer? I said that Jesus did not need to be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, what does Jesus' baptism have to do with him being sinless or sinner?
Jesus has never been a sinner. He's always been sinless.
All right, well, we're in agreement. Jesus' baptism was for another reason. Just like Jesus keeping the atonement sacrifice, did he need to atone?
No.
Well, he kept it for another reason, didn't he?
For
to fulfill all righteousness.
Do you believe that, so you're telling me that you believe that there's no such thing as the age of accountability?
I didn't say that. The Apostle Paul's the one who said that he was alive once without the law, and sin came. When was he alive without the law? There was never a time when he didn't have the law as a Jewish child. So the only other conclusion that I can come to, now you can come to another one if you want to.
I believe you're a stinking nut.
Okay, well, we'll reduce ourselves to that kind of behavior. Are you one of the, he's probably one of the elect. And responding, now jump in anytime you want to, Dan, on those questions. I think that on most of this, we actually agree instead of disagreeing with these gentlemen. Okay. if Dan would like to go for 5 minutes, we can have the last 5 minutes, and then we'll close out our program.
Hello?
Caller, we just didn't get to you.
Okay. Thank you, Brother John.
All right. Go ahead, Dan.
There's a lot of things that I'd like to say in closing out, but the main thing that I want to say tonight is that all the scriptures that I've given as proof that children are born in sin, Job said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Johnny says you can. Job says you can't. Johnny says you can. Job says you can't. Job's a man of integrity. He says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? I'm saying what the Bible says. And Johnny can reason all he wants to in his human logic about if we sin, then Adam was created a sinner. And that's not right. You see, his logic, he is making us just like Adam in Adam's state of uprightness. See, we're not just like Adam. We're not just like Adam in that state of uprightness. We're not born into this world upright and without sin, without the nature of sin. I've proven over and over and over again by the scripture. David said in Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. Johnny, if there was no iniquity there, how could he be shapen in iniquity? Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He's talking about his conception. He's talking about his existence when he was conceived in his mother's womb. And he says, in sin did my mother conceive me. He's not talking about his mother's sin, or his grandmother's sin, or his great-grandmother's sin, or his great-great-grandmother's sin. He's talking about himself. You have to twist that scripture. You have to distort that scripture to deny what it says. And all the other scriptures that I have mentioned, you have to distort it, to twist it, to turn it to suit your own theology, in which I believe that that's what Johnny has done. He twists it, he turns it, and we ain't even got hardly out of depravity yet. We ain't even got into belief, repentance, confession, baptism, and all those other things. We ain't even got into that. We ain't even got into redemption, that is, into the depths of it. But I'll guarantee you, he'll do the same thing with all those other teachings in God's holy word. What I'm saying tonight is that he's saying the symptom is the cause. I'm saying there is a cause. You can't have a universal effect, and that's all men sin, without a universal cause. And I am saying what the Bible says in Romans 5:12, that Adam is the cause. And therefore he brought sin into the world by his disobedience, death by sin. So, that is, this is the result. So death passed upon all men. That is, it was declared by God that all men are in sin. So death passed upon all men for that which is foregoing, that all men have sinned in the past tense. I'm saying just what the Bible says here, what Paul wrote here, that all men sinned in Adam. That is, in their nature, because Adam had our nature. In Psalm 14, it says, God did look down from heaven upon the children of men. Are infants children of men? Certainly they are. Upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand and that did seek God. He says they're all gone out of the way. They are together become filthy or unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That is universal. You cannot have a universal effect without a universal cause. That is sound logic. You cannot do it.
Okay, friends, if we can get right back up to my graphic right quick, I'll have the last 5 minutes as we're closing out. I want you to notice this, friends. This is something that all the people who are calling in are not dealing with. Wherefore, as by one man sins entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Wherefore, as it happened to one man, sin entered into the world. It says, as by sin, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so, how? As it happened, so it happened. And then notice this, something he never went back to. Here is the universal. He wants universal sin and condemnation. But look what the Bible says. If the all is universal for the sinner, why isn't it universal for the righteousness? For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more. This is a much more doctrine, friends. There's got to be some explanation here that gives us a much more cure than the curse. But you see, his curse is universal, but he won't even quote the verses when it says that all shall reign. Look at this. For by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Much more. Then it says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all, there's your all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification. All I'm saying, friends, if you get to tinker with the all here, I get to tinker with the all there. He's saying the all doesn't mean all. I'm saying the all doesn't mean all either. I'm saying that for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, we are actually having the opportunity for all of mankind to be saved. That's all I'm saying. He's not willing to admit that. His is actually a limited atonement for an elect few. And friends, any way you cut it, he believes that these little children are going to end up being in hell, and he tried to get around that by acting like we weren't asking that question. Now I want you to notice this. When he talked to me about my changing and twisting, friends, did you hear what he said about Saul and being on the road to Damascus? He said that the commandment that came in Saul's life was that Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and that is when he died. My friends, what in the world? Paul says right here the law. Here's the commandment. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. This is the context. He's not talking about the road to Damascus. I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, what's the commandment? He explains what the commandment is. And he twisted that around and said, well, that was on the road to Damascus when he met Jesus, and Jesus spoke to him, and that's when the law came and he died. Well, friends, he says that he was alive. This is the process of things. I was alive, then I died. Well, these folks say you're dead first and then you get life. Well, the Bible actually is clear that life was first and then you died. And the death that he died was as a result of coming in contact with one of the Ten Commandments. So this is what you want. This is what the community is wanting. This is what the Baptists are promoting. I didn't do it. Adam did. I don't need to do anything. Jesus did it, and I can't fall, so there's nothing I could do. Now, isn't that a suitable doctrine for you all? It's very suitable, and it lends to an unrestrained lifestyle. And listen to one of the things that we need to notice, that the Bible says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. I never said that all men were going to be saved. I said that Jesus has opened the doors to whosoever will. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, also he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. They're saying that you can't. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whoso shall save his life, who shall lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's, the same shall save it. He's saying that you can't do that. That's all we're responding to. Friends, do you want a doctrine that says that God, before the foundation of the world, actually limited the atonement of Jesus Christ and selected a few before they even lived or before they did anything, that they would actually have eternal life and the rest would be damned? Is that the kind of justice that you want to claim? How about if somebody broke into your house and gave you that kind of justice? They didn't ask you whether you broke the law or not. They don't care. Because, you see, it really doesn't matter. Now, friends, I have tried to be very fair in regard to this discussion. I don't know why anybody would say that I'm not. I think this has cost us somewhere, the Churches of Christ, somewhere in the neighborhood of $2,000. We let him go first 20 minutes without me even discussing. Then he came on another night, and he went first for two nights, and I had to try to follow him and gave the scriptures behind him. And finally, friends, I went first and presented some scripture that he didn't like and gave his inconsistencies, and all of a sudden, I'm the worst person. Well, I'm hoping that you can see through this and that you can realize that what we're trying to do is show you the truth of the gospel, that we were not, in fact, born in sin. Friends, we appreciate you for being with us. This has been a long program. We ask you always to try to get in touch with us here. My phone is ringing. I'm going to go off the air saying, always ask for what's the Bible say. God bless you, and good night.